You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Former Green Party MP Darlene Tanner was suspended from the party after claims of migrant worker exploitation surfaced at a business owned by her husband, Christian Hoff Nielsen, leading to subsequent allegations of Darlene's involvement in or awareness of the situation. Tanner announced her official resignation from the Greens last weekend, a move which Chloe Swarbrick and her contemporaries in the Greens had been urging since the allegations surfaced. However, Tanner still maintains both her and her husband's innocence and has not yet resigned as a member of parliament. Some experts have suggested that the Greens might subsequently invoke the waka-jumping legislation, a law requiring MPs to leave parliament if they switch parties, which the Greens have historically opposed. For our weekly catch-up, I speak to Green Party MP Ricardo Menendez March about the allegations surrounding Tanner and whether or not the party will invoke the waka-jumping legislation to remove her as an MP. We also discussed the recent move by Housing Minister Chris Bishop to increase housing in Aotearoa with his new housing policy.
Do you know if Darlene Tanner is in the process of fully resigning as an MP, or is she going to continue running independently?
First things first, part of why she was suspended was because of the really serious allegations of migrant exploitation, which we didn't have clarity over what she had or hadn't disclosed to us. Secondly, since receiving the report, the co-leaders made a recommendation to Darlene that which caucus supported that she should resign entirely as an MP. Since making that recommendation to her, we haven't heard back from Darlene regarding the request.
Will the Greens possibly be invoking the waka-jumping law to get Tanner out of parliament?
So these are conversations that we haven't had yet, and our focus right now is on working through the affected parties, the named parties, and the report so that we can work through releasing as much as we can. And we're yet to hear back from Darlene in a request. So there's kind of a first step there before we even start the conversations around the use of the waka-jumping legislation.
The Greens previously voted to repeal the waka-jumping law back in 2020, but has the possibility of needing to invoke that law changed the party's perspective on it?
Our party's position on this hasn't changed. Any change to this position would require quite substantive conversations at several levels of the party. And it's been well canvassed why we have that historical position, both because of how the Green Party came about, but also because of the principal nature around being able to have ideological disagreements. But as I've said, our key focus right now is in relationship to going through the process of consulting with named parties in the report, as well as continuing our call for Darlene to resign as an MP altogether and waiting for her to acknowledge and respond to that properly.
Aside from potentially invoking the waka-jumping law, are there any other courses of action that the Greens will be taking at the moment?
Well, as we've said, one of the key things for us is working through with named parties and the report so that we can release as much as we can from the report. And secondly, we continue requesting to Darlene that the best course of action for everyone, including her, would be to resign as an MP. We've made it really clear that the findings of the report means that we do not think that she is not just not fit to be a Green MP, but an MP altogether.
Despite the current state of the allegations, Tanner is continuing to deny her involvement in her husband's business, and she's saying she's been misrepresented by the Greens' decision and that a predetermined view was formed before her hearing. How would you respond to this?
Well, this is why we are reaching to all named parties in the report so that we can release the report. And our message to Darlene has been that we hope she complies with the request to release at least the executive summary, as well as hopefully as much of the report as we can. And so that's our response to those comments from her. Secondly, we are very confident, having in the report, that Darlene is no longer fit to be an MP. And this is why we're trying to get through releasing the executive summary as soon as we can.
Tana has also said that the report and inquiry into her husband's business found no evidence of migrant worker exploitation. Do you think this is true?
Well, one of the reasons why we want to go through the process of consulting with named parties is that us discussing those issues without going to consultation with named parties in the report could be a breach of privacy. So this is why we hope that we can answer a lot of those questions once we're able to release the executive summary and consult with the named parties. But like I've said, having seen the report and having had those discussions with our caucus, it is incredibly clear that Darlene is not fit to be a Green Party caucus member or an MP in general.
The allegations against Tana and her husband came not too long after Golriz Garaman's shoplifting charges surfaced at the start of the year. Now, I'm not going to get into that, but I do want to ask, are the Greens doing anything to prevent these kinds of public controversies from happening in the future?
Yeah, I mean, look, I would not conflate these different issues, right? I think each individual case that we've had to deal with has its own set of circumstances. What we have acknowledged is that we are in the process, as with every election, of reviewing how we do candidate selection processes. And the situation with Darlene no doubt will feed into our review and how we make sure that we do due diligence in relationship to the candidate selection process. This is in great part due to people rightfully pointing out that some of the stuff that was in the Employment Relations Authority could have been searched publicly, and those are fair comments in relationship to how we can best improve our candidate selection processes, and those are all life issues.
So just to reiterate, the Greens will be reevaluating their vetting and selection process for their MPs.
We do this every election, or after the election, we review basically all of our election-related processes, and this includes the candidate selection process, but we've made it really clear that recent events will, of course, feed into that review.
Finally, do you have a message you'd like to send to Darlene Tana, or anything you'd like to finish off with for this topic?
Our message to Darlene Tana is please resign effectively, and please comply with the release of the report. The ball is in her court, and we think that there are questions that she will need to answer herself.
Moving on to the next topic, Housing Minister Chris Bishop recently announced a plan of nationals to address the housing crisis and, quote, flood the market with their going for housing growth policy, which would involve freeing up land for development, removing certain planning barriers, and providing incentives for communities and councils to support housing development. What's the Green Party's take on this?
We need to do density right, and so we welcome the conversation around how we can increase the supply of the right type of housing. I think it's important to also note that simply flooding the market with private housing isn't going to address the housing crisis, because the key thing we need here is an increased supply of state housing, housing that actually helps lower house prices in the area. And that is the kind of housing that actually the government will slow down the supply of. So we have concerns that the government is relying on the provision of private housing to fix the housing crisis. And that has not worked here or overseas at the end of the day. So unfortunately, the impacts on affordability of flooding the market with private housing will be limited.
Do you think that Chris Bishop's new policy is a sustainable way to increase housing development in Aotearoa?
Well, it's not in the long term, but most importantly, it won't address the key issue of affordability in the housing space. We still need to increase housing supply in general. We just think the government's priorities in relationship to the kind of housing are wrong, because state housing is the kind of housing that drives house prices down the most. This is why a lot of what we call NIMBYs tend to petition the parliament to stop state housing developments, because they know it's going to lower house price values in the area, on top of a lot of people not wanting lower income communities moving in, which is obviously incredibly classist and often laden with quite racist assumptions.
I understand that the Greens have concerns about the policy's possible contribution to urban sprawl. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, because despite Chris Bishop's so-called commitment to, you know, higher density housing, the reality is that their policies will nonetheless still enable the same failed approaches that we've had over decades. The reality is that we should be far more focused on the increase of density part of the equation rather than moving upwards. Part of the issue with having a big component of sprawl in our solution to housing is that you end up eating away land, natural areas that actually help protect our cities from extreme weather events. And actually, because of the need to build a bunch of roads alongside it, you end up actually making it far more expensive, environmentally damaging, and disconnect people from amenities. So this is why we've been big proponents of any increase in the supply of housing needs to come with an increase in medium to high density housing, as well as amenities around it.
Do you think that this new policy by Chris Bishop signals a slight change in direction for National?
Only slight in terms of the it's a change in language, but it's still the retention of sprawl at its core and a reliance in private housing to fix the housing crisis. The core message from us is that housing is not a commodity and it's a human right. And if we're going to start treating it as a human right, we can't just leave it to the private market, and we have to actually build a huge amount of state housing to lower house prices and guarantee that people can pay the rent.
Lastly, how would the Greens go about trying to increase housing development in Aotearoa?
Well, in the election, we put forward a package that would have included a massive boost to the supply of state housing, and also would have prevented the boom and bust in the construction area by the government effectively partially nationalizing construction companies by buying equity shares whenever there's a slowing down in the construction sector. What this would allow us to do is to have a consistent injection of supply of the right kind of housing, but we also would focus more on the density side of things to ensure that we actually are not eating up our natural areas as part of the sprawl that is happening under this government and successive governments, to be fair.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.